parental guidance is suggested.
Everybody, welcome back to Ping. This is episode
78.
That's right. 78 weeks of us bringing you the hottest stories that Microsofties are pinging each other about each weekend. This week we have special guest
Paul.
Hey.
And Jeff Sandquist. And I'm sure you guys are familiar with Jeff Sandquist. It, basically, when I go, "Hey, who's your daddy?" he says, Jeff Sandquist, right?
Nice.
Sort of. That's what he says.
Nice.
Jeff, one of the original founders, the daddy of Channel.
Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy?
What did you say? All cute, but
you guys look
alike. Who's
your
daddy?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Who's your daddy?
I think he's brilliant.
Anyway, Jeff's going to join us for the entire episode because we've got a lot of big news. Some of it regarding
Windows Phone 7. I think it's appropriate.
Yeah. I think it's all right.
Hovering.
My bonus just went up, and we're going to get to all that news. Right now, unless Paul had something he wanted to say.
So I want to say thanks to everyone out there that sent us their gamer tag for the Halo Reach against
We're
host.
Sorting through them all.
Yeah, so we need to probably get some more information, like time zone information, so we can figure out how exactly we're going to do this. But we'll get some more information and hopefully figure this out over the next couple weeks or so.
Thanks, Paul.
All right. Should we get the stuff started?
All right, if you live under a rock and aren't aware, Windows Phone 7 made a big announcement just this morning. We announced our hardware.
Nice.
Nice, awesome. In New York City, and there'll be coverage of this right now up on Channel 9, because I'm actually there. Isn't that crazy?
How can you be at two places
at once? I know.
Was it like one of those Star Trek, like, transporter, like...
How are you here now, and this is happening now?
It's all a figment of your imagination, Jeff. That's right. But we did announce the hardware, which is awesome, and Jeff, you've been playing with a phone. Can you divulge which model you've been playing with?
I've been using a developer device, so it's one of the ones that we've been sending out to all of our partners that are building apps and so forth. And I've been using one of the Samsung developers.
One of the Samsungs.
And, you know, it's just been a great device. You know, I have had to worry a few times that somebody's going to take my device away, because I've actually...
Are you saying work amongst
the
thieves?
The first three times that I got a device to work with, it literally was in my possession for 10 minutes, and then we realized, hey, some other partner wanted to build an app, so I was like, here it goes, goodbye. So I actually got this one, and now that I have it, I don't want to give it up.
You don't? And I can actually verify this story, because I went to borrow it one time, and Jeff left me some cryptic message about how the phone was in my office, under the jeans, wrapped in a bag. He secretly hid it. You know, so no one could actually, apparently we work with kleptomaniacs.
We've also been just making sure that, like, the right people have the devices, and there's very few people around here that have it, because we're making sure that people that can build apps actually have them to go do that. And why I finally grabbed it is we have just all these apps that we're getting ready for today and beyond, and just want to make sure that we got great experience for people out there.
Absolutely.
Are you going to be developing any apps? Do you play around with any of that stuff?
I play around it still a little bit. I've actually got the dev tools installed on my machine and been doing it. I came to Microsoft as a developer.
Okay.
Me too.
Laura too.
He looks smart.
But, you know, I don't write much code anymore.
Yeah.
Or actually much is being really, really kind.
You might create a batch file or two here or there.
Yeah. The only thing that I've done recently is some old Commodore 64 stuff back from the day of, like, remembering old physical addresses and stuff of Commodore 64 stuff.
But yeah, that's probably way too low level.
Retro gaming.
Yeah, like all the Pac-Man games that you're showing me at the DPE barbecue at your place. But yeah, I have a few great ideas for apps, so once I get my hands on a phone, I might actually play along with it, so we'll see.
Hey, so during Fireball Guy, John Gruber, I guess he was on a podcast or his show this week, and he said some really nice things about Windows Phone 7, just that it was a great device. He was contrasting it a lot towards Android, where he kind of talked about how Android feels like it's coming from, you know, many different teams, and maybe not the most consistent experience. And just said, you know, that, hey, this looks like a real cohesive, well thought through
which is huge, because he's known as like an Apple enthusiast. He's a Mac guy.
So he's like an Apple fanboy type of.
He writes a lot of pieces that he covers the Mac business. He talks about the iPhone, and he is, in a lot of times when maybe there have been not some great things happening, he may have been talking nicely about Apple. So call that a fanboy.
Oh, okay.
And he writes Apple programs as well. So yep. I mean, he's usually pretty much on that side.
But now he's taken a gander at Windows Phone 7.
Yeah. Yep.
And he seems to, on his first impression, that it's a pretty solid review.
Which is, you know, obviously great news, because here's someone who typically would not be in our favor.
Yeah.
And I think it just talks about the approach that we've taken with the phone, about how we've really thought through end-to-end the scenarios that we're going to get. And we have a long ways to go with the phone, but...
We do. I think this is going to sway or weigh heavily on a lot of our competitors and develop Mac enthusiast minds. We're like, hey, you know, it's not just Microsoft who's saying that this is a valuable and worthy platform to develop on. But now here's Apple guy.
Yeah, I really like when we have success stories like this, where there are people that have been like Microsoft naysayers for a while, or they haven't really bought off on our vision. Then they see something, and they can't help but recognize the quality release that we have. And I know that's happened quite a bit with Windows 7. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, really happy to see that we can start changing people's minds about our investment in the mobile business.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, John.
All right, guys. Have you heard of Spotify?
Heard of it. Everybody's, it's all the rage in Europe.
I have.
Yeah? So can you tell me what Spotify is?
Spotify is an online way of sort of sharing, streaming, and downloading music, but it's free and it's legal.
Yeah.
And it's not available in the U.S.
Yeah, that's what really blew my mind.
Like, I saw all these great reviews, and I'm like, great, can't wait to try it.
Yeah, so I saw this great article saying that it's that the Spotify team is actually going to be making an app for Windows Phone 7 and even possibly even earlier Windows mobile platforms like Windows Mobile 6.5. And I saw like all these great comments about Spotify, and I had no idea what it was, and I read about it. And it's like, it's all over Europe. Like, you can get it in, like, Finland, France, Norway, Sweden, but it's not in the U.S.
Which is interesting. You know, we get a lot of flack on our show for sometimes talking about cool stuff.
Yeah, like all the Zune stuff, some of the Xbox stuff.
Our overseas audience just write in, we can't get it, we can't have it. Well, now you can.
And the tables have turned. And it amazes me that we have things like Pandora, mm-hmm. where you can like listen to radio stations or digital radio stations and not really choose what song you want to listen to. But in Spotify, it's like you can type in exactly what you want out of like the 10 million tracks that they have, and you can just listen to it for free if you're in one of the countries where they have license agreements with you.
And because Spotify leverages peer-to-peer networking, so there's no there's really no buffering time. That it's not like weighed heavily on like one single streaming service. It's got tons and tons of music at your fingertips, and the difference between other things like Last.fm is that you can actually download these songs, and they live locally on your phone. So it is, I mean, they're calling it, it's been called, I've read by various sources, the iTunes killer.
Okay.
I won't say that, I won't back that, but I have read that. I'm retweeting what I read. But yeah, this looks great. I can't wait to have it. And they said it's definitely coming to Windows Phone 7. Not announced exactly when, but this is going to be one of my first installs. I know, Jeff, you were a Shazam fan.
I'm a Shazam fan.
You are a Shazam fan.
Yes, I am.
Present tense. What are some of the features about Shazam that you like? Because I'm going to try to compare it with Spotify.
So Shazam is a very different type of experience. Where I use Shazam is I'm driving into work and say I'm listening on XM radio and I hear a song that I have to have.
Okay.
And I go, you know, what I used to actually do when I'd hear something that I'd want, I'd hold my camera phone up to my dash and snap a picture of, like, the display information. So if it was, like, ZZ Top, I want to add Sharp Dressed Man. I'd snap a snap
really
that picture.
Current music.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you know, I'd go do that song. I do that. Well, now with Shazam, I just go to that app, click the Shazam button, it'll detect what it is, and it'll add it to my recently tagged songs. From there, I can go over and launch Zune, and I can go...
So Shazam is sort of more for...
Music detection.
Finding out what that song is.
It's discovering, right? You're in a bar, and you want to you hear a song, go, what is that? Oh, wait, I want to make sure I get that later. You'll forget by the time you get back from the bar. You do Shazam, you tag it. The next day, you'll have on your recent tags the list of the song. Then you can decide to go get it somewhere else, or you can even just go on your Windows phone, go over to Zune and play it.
Now, does it work with karaoke? Can you, like, sing
into
it?
You can't really sing it unless you're really good. It's based on the melody of the music.
Next week, if you want, we could try that. If you want to sing, we'll do that.
That's probably one of the things I'm worst at in life, is singing.
You know, what amazed me about Shazam, though, is, like, you would hear different covers. Like, Metallica does a cover of the song Turn the Page.
Mm-hmm.
And so that one was playing, and I forget who did the original. Is it the Eagles or somebody did the original Turn the Page song? And I'm like, it's got a cover playing, and I detected, well, is it going to detect the original and display it? shows the cover. So right. It's really
wow.
Amazing what it gets. And even where if people are talking or if the song breaks up, Shazam's pretty darn cool.
Very cool. So we have tons of cool apps coming to Windows Phone 7.
Exactly.
And hopefully we can have a trip over to Europe funded by Channel 9 and DPE to check out Spotify when
can
it
we
launches.
Go, Daddy? Can we go?
Next.
All right, guys. So there's an interesting new proposal by Scott Charney of Microsoft, and offering up a way to sort of keep sick computers off the internet, thereby removing the risk of infecting other healthy computers.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting discussion that's going on right now in different tech communities where it's no longer, we can no longer trust that people care about the health of their own machine to the point where we now need to start taking analogies to like the health sector in the U.S. with people being sick and that the government or other regulatory bodies can step in and be like, okay, for the betterness of all society, we may need to offer things like flu shots or quarantining different
right.
groups
now,
of people.
Right. Now, here's an extreme of that. I don't know if you guys have noticed recently in public bathrooms and Microsoft bathrooms that it tells you when to wash your hands. There's signs that say how to wash your hands.
So before.
Signs that say cover your mouth when coughing.
Like, well, no, you're
really,
not supposed to cover your mouth
I'm sorry,
like
this. I'm sorry, supposed to go like this.
Yeah, your elbows. Supposed
to go like this.
Your sleeve.
But really, really things that you would assume is common knowledge to America, but now we're advising people to do it. Whereas,
like,
I think
don't
that,
drink your shampoo.
Right, unless there's alcohol in it.
And unless you're going to then rinse and repeat as necessary.
Right, and burp up bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. I think whereas those signs are unnecessary, you know, these simple regulations and warnings are completely necessary to protect our internet. Like, my mom doesn't know to not open, you know, dangerous file from unknown spammer.
.exe.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my mom doesn't know to not download, you know, illegal things. Like, she doesn't know. So I think
sure.
that these sort of really, really what we would consider basic laws of the internet need to be out there.
Yeah, I think, though, it's a really challenging thing to impose this on something that has been so free in the past.
True.
So, I mean, we need to be really concerned about how this would be implemented. Like, if we implement some type of certificate-based approach where your computer, your machine's issued, or your device, even like a phone, is issued some certificate that says that it's healthy, and then you have to present that certificate to some type of regulatory body, like, that's now probably likely to track you throughout the internet and track where you're accessing it from and tracking that machine has been able to access it from different areas. So there are a ton of privacy concerns with enabling something like this.
Right. But I think that it's all for the greater good. You know, I'm sure back in the day, the cavemen and the early civilians were like, no, we don't want laws. They just keep us, you know, don't let us live our natural life. But the laws are for our own good, people.
Yeah, I mean, it goes into, like, these debates about, like, public goods and privacy. And, like, there are certain things that you can give up and certain things that can be easily abused. And this is in an area now where we're taking something that is completely free and there are just a lot of privacy advocates out there that will go nuts over this
fight against it for sure. And I did read something about internet tax, which just, you know,
yeah, it's
obviously,
like,
nobody wants that.
Well, I mean, this is
the certificates will need to be funded somehow.
Right, like the whole process behind this will cost a lot of money, and there are a bunch of problems with it. I do like the thought that there will be some body that will. That will actually try and figure out ways that we can improve the health of the internet and for people that aren't investing their own time to make sure that they're
Why not look for a way to stop the viruses and stop the virus creators?
Oh, you mean like virus scans?
Yeah, but something more effective.
There's a bunch of stuff, you know, where there's botnets that came down the last couple weeks. I think there's a lot of things that you can do around make sure the botnets come down. I think we need to do things as a company to make sure that it's easy to add updates. And I think there's things even with, like, our browsers and things like that we make it so that people know what they're downloading and help users not do those things. I think this is another level on top of that. When you do all of those things, it's still not going to eliminate all of the problems on these machines. And I think this paper, you know, is talking about, you know, starts up this conversation where we go, hey, there's a lot of issues.
Yep.
That's why we're putting out this paper, to talk it through so we can get feedback and learn.
And historically, we've looked at this from many different angles, and we've done as much, we've done a lot to empower users to make the best decisions for themselves. But if they don't care, if they're uninformed, if they're not plugged in, they're obviously not going to be doing any of that on their own. And in private organizations, like here at Microsoft, there are corporate security policies that if you don't apply these updates, if you don't do X, Y, or Z, you will be banned from the network. And we can do that in our own private environment. Now we're looking at everything that we've learned over the past two decades of running networks here at Microsoft to make the best of those recommendations available to the internet in the right type of way. So I'm really glad that this discussion is going on now, but I think there's a lot of working that needs to be done.
I think we're a ways off until we see anything like that. But yeah, it's I think it's a step in the right direction, as long as it's free.
Yeah.
Very cool.
All right, everybody, that's just about it. We want to thank Jeff for coming down and joining the show. Jeff, we're going to right now give you an open invitation, A, anytime, and B, to join our Halo match. We're
going
to play Halo against
Halo
the Niners,
Reach.
And I plan to do some massive damage, and I'm going to shoot mostly just Paul.
Jeff Sand is my gamer tag.
Jeff Sand is your gamer tag?
Jeff
All
Sand
right,
is
so
my
Jeff
Twitter so that I can continue my ongoing battle with you for
If you ever wanted to shoot Jeff, you can send your gamer tag to ping@microsoft.com. And before we go, we wanted to mention that Microsoft is now selling a new mouse in support of breast cancer. For those of you who watch football, like every American should, you noticed that last week.
And Canadian.
Canadian
football league.
Anyone on the globe.
Go Riders.
On the entire planet should watch football.
NFL,
you noticed that all the football players were wearing pink in their hats, pink in their helmets, pink in their wristbands, pink sneakers to support breast cancer.
Breast cancer awareness.
Not to support breast cancer, to support awareness.
Yes.
Support awareness of. And Microsoft has joined on the NFL bandwagon. And we've released a mouse that will also support breast cancer awareness.
Yep, the Wireless Mobile Mouse 4000. And we are going to donate $4 for each of those mouse devices sold.
Yeah, and we guaranteed a minimum of $200,000 for the effort, but $4 from every mouse. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Pretty significant contribution from Microsoft.
So go buy a pink mouse for you, your friends, your brothers, your sisters, and your mothers.
Yep. Plus, they're cool.
They are.
They're cool and they're pink. So,
and they use the blue track technology, so you can use it on basically any device or on any surface, and it'll work really well.
That's exciting, Paul.
Yeah. I was hoping they maybe would invent like a pink track device just for this mouse, but that would probably cost more than the
next year.
$200,000.
Now that you've thought of it. All right, everyone. With that, it's time to throw the nine guys. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Now who is like a cookie?
You hit the top.
At least I hit it.
Albus, I love the building.